Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to Red Sky Radio here, the Robin Walters Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. Thank you for joining in. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned the possibility of whether or not I should take the program from an hour down to a half an hour and cut out a certain topics, make it a little tighter, more concise on things. And their feedback was, some said, you know what, it's your program, do whatever you like. Others said, no, I did not have anybody that actually wanted it shorter. And there was just sort of this, I don't know, 2 or 3 week lull in the news cycle, a little bit, things to talk about. And I don't like to just put in filler. And I don't, but I, you know, I watch some programs like Newsmax, The Right Squad, and things of that sort. And boy, you can tell right away when it's a slow news day. And they're talking about something pretty lame. I mean, who cares something about Taylor Swift or this or that? I mean, it's just nothing but filler. And they try to sound kind of excited about it. Well, I can't do that. So I decide, okay, I'm going to keep it at an hour. And the last 2 weeks, I've had more than I can fit in an hour. I did not finish last week's program. I better quit yakking about this so I can try to finish this week's program. There is just a whole lot going on. So I'm going to launch with some good news. We're going to end with something that I hope will put a smile on your face. And in between, hang on, because it's an e-ticket ride. Out of the gate, I thought this was great. Didn't make much news, but RFK Jr. fired all 17 members of the Vaccine Advisory Committee. This is great news. Most of them are just shills for pharmaceutical companies. It's the fox guarding the hen house. Now, that was a few days ago, but the word has come out here that he has now at least identified his replacements. And I don't know if they've all been appointed, but man, get to some independent people. This is what happens, whether it's the lobbyists or whether it's any governmental committee. They end up just, they represent certain interests that have you and me paying the piper, paying the price tag and higher taxes, less transparency. Things don't get done that they should. They get done the way that the inside parties want done for what? Money, 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 money. Yeah, remember that song? It is money. Well, probably don't remember it the way that I sang it, but I understand that. Okay, way to go, RFK Jr. Man, you know, I remember when Trump nominated him or said he was going to nominate him, and he said, RFK, you know, this is what I want you to do, and you do it well. You don't get to touch anything else. Because he's pretty doggone liberal about abortion and sex change. He's bad on that stuff. But in this area, he can nail it. And I find it intriguing that Trump, like any good business person, any good manager, will identify the talent necessary to fill a niche, and then you got to confine him to that niche, but make use of the talents and gifts they have. Just don't let them color outside the lines. And RFK Jr. has not spouted off about any of those other things for which would be an embarrassment to the present administration. So, but anyway, he's a good pick. Next, we're going to spend some time here on the riots. This is this week's message, Another Summer of Discontent. Or something like that. I haven't exactly named it yet. But the majority of the people 59 to 39 approved Trump deploying the National Guard to try to stop the LA riots. And though that doesn't surprise me. That's just slightly higher than the number that elected him. So among voters, I mean, he got the majority of the popular vote, so it shouldn't, and this was probably one of his key issues, certainly controlling our borders and the mass deportations he talked about. None of it should be a surprise. That's why we voted him in. And yet, actually, the support for his numbers, I mean, yeah, 59% for stopping or trying to suppress the riots is actually higher than his percentage of the popular vote. So somewhere in here, he's picked up a few more percentage points, which is a heck of a lot of people, that are more supportive than ever of what he's doing. And I should add that to the embarrassment of the left, the majority of the people, that's a majority number that supports stopping the riots or suppressing them among legal immigrants. So if you think that the people that are here legally, they're just going to go out there and riot till they get their friends and their buddies and family in a manner that they can't be extricated, they can't get booted out, you're wrong. No, the majority of legal immigrants support what he's doing. And I get it. Why are the people that are here legally, why are they here? Most of them are here because seeking a better life. America, the land of opportunity, and all of that, your future is as big as your dreams, and all of those things go along with that. They waited in line, they paid the price, they did what they're supposed to do. And some of that, you know, we change based on a push-pull strategy. I mean, we are pulled towards certain things, but sometimes just the pull isn't enough unless we're also pushed. I'm going to give you an example, a job change. I have more people ask me about a job change. I said, well, what's attracting you? Well, I think I'd like to do this. Well, what's pushing you? Well, I like what where I am, but I think this other is better. Or they might say, I can't stand my present job. I just need something else. Both of those are wrong. You need something attracting you, but also something pushing you. If you got a great job, you're not going to want something else. And if you have a horrible job, you don't want to just take something willy-nilly to get away from your existing job. Oh, anything would be better. So it's a push-pull arrangement. The same it is with immigration. There's something that draws people here, but there's also something that's pushing them from where they are. They want to get out from whatever the country is, whatever the situation, they want to leave. I've had it. I'm heading to America. They want to get out. So there's that push and there's that pull. Why would the people that are here legally want to be surrounded and flooded by a whole bunch of people who didn't pay the price, are coming here for other reasons, and recreating in LA, Phoenix, New York, you pick their city, and recreate the little hellhole from which they escaped? Why would you want to do that? You just think you want to speak Spanish in a different latitude? No, they don't want a recreation of the hellhole that maybe they escaped from to be replicated wherever they've chosen to land legally here in the United States. So I understand these illegal immigrant numbers supporting Trump does not surprise me in the least. In fact, I'd be surprised if they weren't strong. Okay, so by the time you hear this, some people hear this program Fridays, others hear it Saturdays. It's different places. So it's mostly airs on Saturday, but a fair amount on Friday. So as you may know, as you've probably seen, there are these protests are planned. I've looked at the map, a map with a dot identifying everywhere there is a planned protest against Trump this Saturday. Now, we have the 250th anniversary of the Army. That parade is on Saturday. It happens to be Trump's birthday. And I'm going to say some things that I hope he doesn't do and some things I hope he does do. But that has been identified now as the new moniker for the radical left, called the No Kings Day of Defiance. No kings. That's what they're pushing for. They think Trump's a king or trying to make himself one. They aren't buying into it. But that's because they have this left-wing ideology that they want the destruction of the United States because, well, there's a whole bunch of reasons which we can get into maybe later, but maybe not. So how many locations have been identified for Saturday's protests? The number? 1,800. 1,800. I look at all these little black dots on the map of the United States identifying where the riot is planned. You say, well, it's a demonstration. No, that's not really what's planned. It's a riot that's planned. They're there to make trouble, and we'll prove it shortly. Where I think Trump has made a big mistake is he's come out and told the reporters that anyone who protests the Army's parade in Washington will be met with a very big force. You know what? He doesn't need to say these things. You've heard me before. That's his Achilles heel, is his big mouth. He says, I mean, Trump is Trump, but there are things he doesn't have to say, and that's one of them. That just draws a crowd. It's like he's itching for a fight. You have the precautions established to maintain order for the parade. If somebody breaks out, then you deal with it. But why do you give them a warning? You're going to be met with a very big force. Well, goodness sakes, you're just asking people to show up with Molotov cocktails. So the organizers behind this, quote, no kings, end quote, movement, they call the protests a reaction to the large military parade. But that's why. What's the problem with a large military parade? Now, it does cost too much, $45 million. Why don't we spend that on, I'm all for parades. I don't know if they need to cost $45 million. But Trump's also celebrating his 79th birthday, and he's supposed to, and he needs to stick to this, as they say, quote, in his words, reflect on the rich history and legacy of service, sacrifice, and dedication of the U.S. Army. End quote. He needs to do that. I don't care if this looks like a May Day parade out of Moscow, whatever it is, but stick to the script, Donald. Don't go off on how great he is, what he's done, how the illegals are going to suffer, blah, blah, blah. That's not what this is about. This isn't a campaign event. Don't bloviate about yourself, but do what you're supposed to do, and that is to give credit and award to the Army, of which I am a veteran. So this is a National Day of Defiance, is what they call it. So when the No Kings people come out and say it's the No Kings Day of Defiance, then calling it a mere protest or reaction to a large military parade is a bunch of bull crap. They don't even line up. You're protesting a large parade? Seriously? No way, Jose. No. The Day of Defiance is that they are defying what? The law. Defying order. It means we're going to break the law. What else could a Day of Defiance mean? Of those 1,800 protests that are planned, more than 100 of those have been added just since Trump announced that he was sending the National Guard to L.A. So it covers a broad path of things, swath, if you will. So Peter Schweitzer writes here in Breitbart, He said there are four things that are clear about the riots in L.A. One, the leaders are feckless. They indeed are. Two, there's foreign money behind the riots. We know that. We know that. Number three, the protesters are expressing, he says, a soup of different grievances. They can't even identify or agree upon why they want to break the law and smash store windows. And the number four is all of this is likely going to happen elsewhere because it's planned, pre-planned, and it's funded. And Karen Bass, the absolute worthless piece of garbage mayor of L.A., doesn't that say something about L.A.? You can't do any better than Karen Bass and a whole bunch of positions. She admitted the obvious. She said, this is a problem. When you bring out a military presence, there is a rapid response out there to ICE. She said, there's going to be a rapid response. How do we know there's going to be a rapid response, Derek Karen? Because you couldn't do that without being organized. You couldn't do that without money. You couldn't do that out without planning, pre-planning, and quick communications. A rapid response, she just admitted that this was not some spontaneous thing triggered by a strong ICE presence. There is a planned response to pick on whatever grievance they think could justify grabbing headline news. This is being financed. Oh, gosh, I could take a half a program to go into the issue of who's financing this, how we think we know who's financing it, and so forth. The mainstream media does, but Fox and Newsmax do a decent job of bringing that out. I do not need to be the parrot for those organizations. They do find their own. I look for points that they don't share. But in preparing for this program, I thought, here's an idea. Here is a really good way to test if these protesters, these rioters, are being paid, which I have read different things. A party sent in something from Idaho to me this week, identifying ads that have been set up in different towns, actually only thinly veiled that they were hiring protesters to be fearless. And the pay was announced. But here's another way. I think this is a good idea. Offhand, not because I thought of it, I just think it's a good idea. I think in any particular riot, you find between 15 and 20 people that are doing something really bad, and you shoot them. Now, you don't shoot them to kill them. You shoot them to injure them. You shoot them in the leg. You disable them. And you stop whatever they're doing, and you've also prevented them from doing the next thing that they were going to be doing, which could be killing a police officer. But you shoot a bunch of them. Then you stand back, and you see how many of them file workers' comp claims against the organization that hired them. Now, before law school, I handled workers' comp claims. I handled workers' comp fraud, investigating it. And I thought this in the night. I thought, man, this is a great idea. Now, the shooting needs to generally be justified, but you make sure you don't kill them, because if they're dead, they can't file a workers' comp claim. They got to be living. So if they file a workers' comp claim, they can only do it because they have an employer who's paid them to do what they're doing. Well, I don't know. I think it's a good idea, you know, and maybe that's what it's going to take to stop some of this. By the time you hear this, some of this is already going to be in play on Saturday or Friday night. Those of you who get this on Friday, you get it before Friday night. So some of this is already going to be going, is already in action. It's in operation. So we'll see how bad it is and whether that's appropriate. But I think it's a good way to flush out that fact. So let's move on to Miss Brain Dead of all time. The woman who spent most of her recent years, from what we can verify, waiting in line for a brain donor because she has none. And you know who I'm talking about. Nancy Pelosi, the one who, if a random bullet entered her left ear, it would emerge from her right ear without any material reduction in velocity. She's a total and complete airhead. So what did she say about the riots? I got some things I want to point out about Ms. Nancy here. So she is stating that the rioters who are setting fire to vehicles, vandalizing vehicles, looting businesses. I've seen the broken windows, throwing various objects at the police. She said they are simply caught up in the, quote, exuberance of the moment, end quote. Can you believe this? Are we going back to that loser Portland, Oregon's mayor who, after the George Floyd riots and so forth, just called it what was going on in Portland the summer of love, that brain-dead loser? Well, I have 4 points I'd like to bring out in regard to Miss Nancy's speaking from a vacant mind. First of all, Nancy, you said there that's the exuberance of the moment. What was the moment? Well, the exuberance, as you call it, preceded the deployment of the National Guard. The problems were the attacks of these people and inhibiting, prohibiting, attacking ICE employees. That's the exuberance? What's the moment that they made to come and arrest illegals who were had committed crimes? I'll share a few of them in a minute. So understand, the exuberance preceded the deployment of the National Guard. Number two, exuberance, however you may define it, Nancy, in the moment, does not make the activity thereof non-criminal. It's not cleansed because you're joyous in the commission of misdemeanors and felonies. You have a great thrill in committing felonies, and exuberance is supposed to excuse you from the responsibility for your crimes? Okay, so by the time you're hearing this, well, let me just go back. By the time I'm preparing this program, we're in the fifth night. So, third question for you, Nancy. If it's the exuberance of the moment, why are we in the fifth day and heading into the sixth day of the moment? 6 days of exuberance is not 6 days in the moment. The moment is a moment. That was six days ago, Nancy. It's no longer exuberance in the moment. It's the thrill of an ongoing riot to defy the law. So, number four is, so this is, well, let me say this right. This is anarchistic. It's chaotic. So the question is anarchism defying the law? Exuberance in the moment? I don't think so. So the Mexican flag being flown around a bunch of burning cars really ticked me off. Is that the exuberance, Nancy? Take your stupid crap piece of Mexican flag, and if you don't burn it, maybe we should start burning Mexican flags. How about that? Let's do that. I don't hate Mexico, but stay in Mexico, Mexico. Don't come here and suck out of our welfare system and everything else and then claim that you own this land by flying the flags around. To me, I'll tell you what it's like to me. flying the Mexican flag through a city in part that you're setting on fire, to me, is like 160 years ago, flying a Confederate flag through the streets of Philadelphia while you attempt to vandalize the Liberty Bell. That's the way I see it. You're in the wrong town with that flag. Get out of there. Well, while the streets of L.A. burn, Brian Lernigan writes this. He said, the streets of L.A. are burning. The blame lies squarely at the feet of Mayor Karen Bass and Governor Gavin Newsom. The response to the violent riots erupting in response to ICE operations has been nothing short of catastrophic. It is a tragic but predictable outcome for a state and a city that have nurtured toxic sanctuary policies for too long. The deployment of the National Guard by President Donald Trump to quell the unrest against the explicit objections of both Bass and Newsom is an inevitable clash between California's reckless sanctuary policies and a federal government finally willing to enforce immigration law. The standoff, now spilling into chaos, was entirely avoidable had California's leaders prioritized public safety over political posturing. For years, California's sanctuary policies have shielded illegal aliens, including those with criminal records, from federal authorities. These policies, championed by Bass and Newsom, have created a haven for lawlessness, undermining ICE's ability to detain and deport individuals who pose a threat to public safety. Bass, one of the worst sanctuary city mayors in America, has revealed her true colors in this crisis. When her city was engulfed in wildfires in January, she was busy attending a junket in Africa and shifting blame away from herself. But now she's present and advocating locally and loudly for the criminals who are destroying her city while she defies federal law, yet blames the problem on Donald Trump. The Trump administration's Operation Guardian Angel is a targeted initiative to apprehend illegal aliens with criminal convictions that has broken through the destruction caused by the sanctuary policies. By prioritizing the removal of dangerous individuals, gang members, drug traffickers, violent offenders, the operation directly challenges California's refusal to cooperate with federal authorities. Yet instead of supporting these efforts to protect communities, Bass and Newman have doubled down, condemning ICE operations and stoking public unrest. The riots in L.A., sparked by opposition to ICE enforcement operations, are a direct consequence of this defiance. Protesters, emboldened by Bass's and Newsom's rhetoric, have taken to the streets, clashing with law enforcement and setting fires across the city. So they keep talking, Bass and Newsom talking about Trump instigating this and igniting this whole thing. Well, what has ignited it is Bass's and Newsom's rhetoric. Lonergan is absolutely correct. They are the igniters. They are the arsonists because they're giving credence and backing and support to those who openly defy the law. And they claim that it's Trump's fault. Those are my words. I'm not quoting. I'm going to get back to the quote here. Newsom's provocative challenge to the Trump administration, come after me, arrest me, are not acts of leadership but of reckless agitation. The results are images from L.A. that are abhorrent to most American protesters, waving foreign flags, burning police cars, spitting on the American flag. This is having the opposite effect of winning the hearts and minds to the sanctuary position throughout the land. I'm not done. Don't go away. I can't believe we're halfway through this program already. It's Red Sky Radio. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Well, I think my dog's a Democrat. And it breaks my heart to have to say an ugly thing like that. But there's a big old pile of evidence that all points towards the fact. My dog might be a Democrat.
Yeah, had to play that one today. So, okay, I got to pick this up because I'm going to run out of time again. Continuing the quote from Brian Lonergan with Breitbart, President Trump has shown an unwavering commitment to enforcing federal immigration law, refusing to tolerate the open defiance of sanctuary jurisdictions. For businesses are looted, communities are terrorized, law enforcement is stretched to the breaking point. Bass and Newsom's insistence on protecting illegal aliens, even those with criminal records, has eroded trust in governance and embolden lawlessness. The refusal to acknowledge the distinction between legal and illegal immigration fuels a narrative that paints ICE as the villain, when in reality the agency is working to remove those who threaten the safety of American citizens. Well said. Thank you, Brian. And now I'm going to add one little comment here onto this piece. Newsom. We got a lot of narcissists around. He's one of them. Trump's another one. Obama was. Biden was kind of too stupid to even be one. But anyway, Newsom cannot stand. It galls this guy to not be the, we used to call it the BMOC, right? The big man on campus. The one in complete charge. He's not. He's been upstage. And because he's refused to deal with the problem, Trump has had to come in. In other words, Trump has had to be the parent to the immature child, Newsom, who is simply trying to find a new angle for his path to the presidency in 2028. Not cutting it, Gavin. He's got to be the one in complete charge. And if he were, and Bass, I mean, goodness sakes, would they have protected ICE? They didn't. It was hours, multiple hours, before there is any police response. Which leads me to believe they cannot be ignorant of all that was going on, which has to tell me that there was a stand-down order. Don't go in there. Let them do what they want. In other words, the same old Democratic crap from the George Floyd garbage and the riots that followed, and because that was their justification for burning and looting and ripping off American businesses without any justification at all. Why didn't we just shoot them? Why don't we do what we did in the Detroit riots and the LA riots a number of years back? It gets to a point you just have to start shooting. And guess what? The riot's over. And when you do not deal effectively with it, and maybe that's not the best way, I know they're using rubber bullets, but if you don't deal with it in the most effective way, why would it not continue? Why, if you don't give a hard wallop and a spanking to a kid that's grossly out of line, why would you think his behavior is going to change? And there's no consequences to his bad behavior, and especially if there's some guy like George Soros or somebody paying the kid to be a jerk and lawless and defiant and a vandal. So you got the network ABC. I used to call it, when Obama was in office, the All Barack Channel, because they've never been serious about a balanced story and jeez, I don't know, decades. So you got the cars burned, the buildings are attacked, looted, federal officers threatened. But ABC comes out and said this is, quote, just a bunch of people having fun, end quote. So here Bob Unruh said, quote, networks were ridiculed during earlier riots in Wisconsin for having a reporter standing in front of blocks of burning buildings, yet describing how the violence was mostly peaceful. So my question is, isn't peaceful violence a bit of an oxymoron? Isn't violence by itself incompatible with peaceful, and isn't peaceful by itself in definition nonviolent? The Gateway Pundit called the ABC story, quote, record absurdity. Man alive. Okay. And here's a lawmaker who I like, Daryl Issa, demanding an explanation, as he should, for why it took so stinking long for the police to get there when the ICE officers are assaulted. So is LA's sanctuary policy, which also includes not cooperating with immigration officials in the enforcement of their federal duties, that sanctuary policy that LA has passed, it's in place, we will not cooperate with ICE. Does not cooperating meaning you don't protect them when people are trying to kill them, attack them, burn their vehicles, and then maybe burn? Is that your non-cooperation? Apparently so. So Issa, or some say Issa, but I say Issa. You say Igor, I say Igor. You say tomato, I say tomato. Okay, he's demanding an explanation for why there is a two-hour delay for LA police to respond. So we only got two choices. LAPD is utterly and grossly incompetent, or they were under a stand-down order from Bass and or Newsom. WorldNet Daily goes on to say, quote, the Department of Homeland Security confirmed on Saturday what happened Friday night when the riots started. There were over 1,000 rioters that surrounded federal law enforcement and their buildings and assaulted ICE law enforcement officers, slashed tires, defaced buildings, and taxpayer-funded property. The fact remains that it took LAPD 2 hours to respond. During that 2 hours is when the 1,000 rioters surrounded a federal law enforcement building and assaulted the officers, and as I said, slashed the tires, defaced buildings, and vandalized taxpayer-funded property. So the other night, waking up at 2:30, or sometimes I get up a little later, about 3:30 a.m., but my head's clearer than normal. Clear, I don't know, but clearer than normal. And it's kind of prayer-like. I'm wondering, call it asking God, is there a precedent for bringing in federal troops? Because the left has said there is no precedent for this. We have no precedent that you just bring them in. And why communicate with Newsom when you know he's going to oppose it and do everything to impede it? Because he wasn't doing anything to stop it up to that point. That's a useless, worthless communication. Trump offered before the National Guard to help out in Portland and other cities that were being burned. They all turned them down. And like the morons that the people of Portland, generally speaking, are, the majority of them are, not all of them, but the majority are nut jobs, left-wing nut jobs, sorry about the redundancy. Just more stores burned during the summer of love. So when I ask this question, kind of to myself, I think God heard it, even though it wasn't prayer form. I said, is there a precedent? And this is what came to my mind. The year 1965. The location, Selma, Alabama. The person, Martin Luther King Jr., wanting to have a march through a segregated Alabama protesting the lack of rights that blacks had all the way to the state house in Montgomery, where the racist governor, George Wallace, presided. Was there a threat of violence, potential violence? Of course there would be, because it happened before. But was there actually any violence that was that triggered or precipitated the call of military personnel? No. Nothing had happened. It was preemptive. It was cautionary. But you see, what happened was George Wallace, I researched this, and I think it was a God thing. George Wallace refused, in that case, to use the National Guard. You see, the police weren't enough because it's, what, I don't know, how many miles from Selma to Montgomery? I don't know, a long ways. So it's in different counties, different police. So the request was that the National Guard would be employed to protect the protesters who were just walking. It's a very peaceful protest. There hadn't been a problem. Wallace refused. Wallace refused to give that protective cover to the marchers. Just like apparently Bass and Newsom rejected the LAPD response, which would not be enough for 1,000 rioters anyway. They held off the stand down order. Hey, we can't, if these people have been paid to do this, we can't stop it before they've accomplished their job assignment. Whatever the thinking was. So Trump brings in the National Guard. Well, in the case of Selma, Alabama, the National Guard was the protective force, sort of equivalent, supposedly, to the LAPD, who, when they didn't respond and the thing's going out of control, Trump did with the Guard what the police weren't doing, like that, not Wallace, I said LBJ. If I said Wallace, I'm mistaken. LBJ brought in the National Guard. I mean, LBJ, doggone it, LBJ brought in federal troops to do what the National Guard refused to do. Trump brought in the National Guard to do what the LAPD refused to do or was ridiculously lax in ever responding to over 1,000 rioters. There is your precedent. The bottom line in this whole thing, Newsom is George Wallace. Newsom is George Wallace, the one who did not call in for the protection of federal employees fulfilling their job obligation to arrest illegals. The National Guard in Alabama not being called in to do what they had an obligation to do, and that was to protect innocent and peaceful protesters in Selma. So you had to go up a notch. LBJ went up a notch. Trump went up a notch. Newsom is George Wallace. How about that, Gavin Newsom? Boy, that's a nice moniker to have. And you are racist. Newsom has to be racist to protect illegal alien Hispanics over the enforcement of the law in the city, and Bass as well, of course, that's part of their duty to, in fact, make sure there's law and order and the public is safe. Well, okay. So were there some really bad people in all of this? Well, here's just a quick rundown of a few of the people that got arrested that day. Quan Chong Phan, Cu Chau Dung, a 49-year-old Vietnamese national who was convicted of second-degree murder and sentenced to 15 years to life in prison. Okay, he's there. He had to be rounded up. Rolando Veneracion Enriquez, a 55-year-old man from the Philippines, arrested by ICE, was convicted of burglary and sexual penetration with a foreign object with force and assault with intent to commit rape. He's on the loose. He's there. Lionel Sanchez Laguna, 55-year-old Mexican national, previously convicted of willful cruelty to a child, driving under the influence, assault with a semi-automatic firearm, and numerous other crimes, according to ICE. Armando Ordaz, a 44-year-old from Mexico, convicted of sexual battery, receiving stolen property, and theft. So you can just kind of go right on down the line. I'm cutting this list short. These are the people ICE is there to arrest. Those are the people that Newsom and Bass are there to apparently protect at the expense of the taxpayer, and the other innocent Angelinos who've got to put up with this crap because the bulk of the state is stupid that picks governors like Newsom and cities that are stupid that pick mayors like Bass. So the question came out here was, quote, why do Governor Newsom and Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass care more about violent murderers and sex offenders than they do about protecting their own citizens? This is according to Department of Homeland Secretary Tricia McLaughlin. She went on to say, quote, these rioters in Los Angeles are fighting. The rioters are fighting. Of course, and this is in conjunction with Bass and Newsom now, to keep rapists, murderers, and other violent criminals loose on the streets of Los Angeles. Wow. Man, I mean, just why is there any debate about this? So the Democrats have, they've got their excuse now. They claim that these riots are the fault of Donald Trump. It's Trump's fault for arresting illegal aliens and for federalizing it. Well, hey, they aren't any less of a criminal because Trump federalized the National Guard. The federalizing of the National Guard has nothing to do to exonerate these thugs for the crimes that they've committed. But that's Newsom's gruesome position. What an obnoxious jerk he is. I mean, this is... So it's ICE's fault for attempting to arrest illegals like just a few that I read. It's Trump's fault for federalizing the National Guard for attempting to enforce the law. Yeah. So let me, so if you try to enforce the law, then that supposedly then justifies criminal behavior. So you stop a guy for speeding. And that arrest then justifies that guy to, sexually assault a young girl. So you arrest a guy for vandalism, and that somehow, because the police are doing their job, that justifies that guy or other people around him for burning cars. So you arrest a guy for attempted rape, and those that are close to him and others around, that justifies everything that happens afterwards. In other words, are you saying, Gavin Newsom, because you are saying this, that the exercise of legitimate force against individuals who are legitimate criminals then legitimizes lawless behavior? So this is how Newsom, and I despise this guy, but as I guess you can tell, this is Newsom's position, that enforcing the law is a legitimate basis for breaking the law. That's what he's saying. Not in those words. I put it in those words. That's about as concise and succinct as it can be. Enforcing the law to Newsom becomes the legitimate basis for breaking the law by the people against whom the law is being enforced. Do you know what that's called, Gavin, you jerk? That's called insurrection. That's called rebellion. Maybe California will secede. Goodbye, adios. Don't let the screen door slap you in the fanny on the way out. And then, as a consequence of all that, what do we have in Colorado? This is ridiculous, unbelievable. So just as Trump is cracking down on criminal activity, the Jared Polis, the queer in charge in Colorado, signs a law that will oppose all federal law enforcement raids on cartel operations there and illegal alien activity there. So if you have a law that involves deporting illegals, then Colorado's responded with a law that says we are going to actively oppose it, not just not cooperate, actively oppose it. So as of now, the state judicial legislative branches, local governments in Colorado, are barred from sharing personal immigration-related data with federal officials. But now, in addition, the existing law. Federal authorities now are denied access to child care facilities, hospitals, and schools, and so forth, unless they have a warrant. So here is my idea. That's not even the end of it. I jumped to the end. It says, further, the law prevents jails from delaying the release of a criminal illegal alien when requested by federal immigration official. And it allows the governor to deny entry into Colorado to another state's National Guard troops for immigration enforcement unless the military force from another state is acting on federal orders and acting as a part of the United States Armed Forces. So they go on to say here, illegal aliens no longer need to document that they've applied for lawful status before gaining the special privilege of in-state tuition. They're just, Colorado's gone rogue. They've gone nuts. And they'll pay the price. I mean, goodness sakes. You know what? I told you I would finish with something that was maybe a little lighter, which I am going to do. And so here we go. I read last week to you a piece about the bar in the Old State Saloon in Idaho. Because remember, this is still Queer Pride Month, right? Supposedly. And that this Old State Saloon in Idaho, for the second year in a row, was celebrating Heterosexual Awesomeness Month. I want to read to you what a good friend and radio listener from Idaho sent to me regarding an advertisement that the Old State Saloon put out in Idaho. This is the best I can do for an ending uptick, folks. It says, we're excited to host the second annual Heterosexual Awesomeness Month. Throughout June 2025, celebrating heterosexuality with a vibrant lineup of events. Special drinks like the Brojito and our special one, the Alpha Mule. I love that. And themed days such as Beer for Breeders on Mondays and Dual Deal Wednesdays for heterosexual couples. Following last year's success, we'd like to invite all to honor God's design for sexuality with good drinks, great people, and exclusive events like the June 7th International Procreation Day celebration. I love this. And the June 14th President Trump huge heterosexual birthday party. In a bold expansion, Old State Saloon partners with Heterosexual Awesomeness Incorporated to present the first ever Hetero Awesome Fest from June 20th and 21st. At a park with live music and blah, blah, blah. They go on to add that. But that's not the end of it. In the, looking down in the ad, it ends with, all are welcome to join the festivities at Old State Saloon and Hetero Awesome Fest to celebrate faith, family, and freedom. As one party said, unless you're acting like an idiot, that is. So this is their ad specifically for Monday, which is called Beer for Breeders. I guess I need a break from all this other garbage enough. I think this is hilarious. The ad says, all heterosexual males dressed like heterosexual males receive one free draft. Oh, my gosh, Old State Saloon. I think it's in a place called Eagle, Idaho, which is not too far from Boise. I think it's west of Boise, though it's been a gazillion years since I've been in Idaho to actually know that, but that's the deal. So then they're just saying, please help us take Hetero Awesome Fest to the next level. And of course, they're advertising for sponsors and so forth. And he said, we are lighting the fuse for a weekend of unapologetic celebration, packed with righteous music, killer grub, and voices that won't be silenced. Oh my gosh. You got to love it. You know, for the heck of it, I just went online. I looked at Realtor.com, see what houses prices were in Eagle, Idaho. I don't have any plan on the movie. I just kind of do that. That was my reaction. See what kind of place that is. But God bless you guys. God bless somebody that's got the guts, the cojones, to stand up and say it just like it is. And maybe, thank you, Idaho, Old State Saloon, maybe you will inspire others. I hope so. You've thrilled me. You've given me an uplift. Not that I need to be inspired. It's just nice knowing I'm not alone. How cool is that? I'm not alone. I know God is with me. It's just nice to know I got some friends at the Old State Saloon in Eagle, Idaho. God bless you. Sit tall in the saddle. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ.